come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love it.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to News Talk 1520 KVTA. And my next guest, I feel as though I've known him forever. I've been listening to him on the television for pretty much as long as I can remember. Tyler Matheson co-anchors CNBC's Power Lunch, and he's also Vice President for Strategic Editorial Initiatives, working closely with CNBC's business development and marketing teams on strategic initiatives and alliances. Previously, Tyler was Managing Editor of CNBC Business News, responsible for directing the network's daily content and coverage. Tyler has also hosted CNBC's High Net Worth, one of the really fine shows on that network. Tyler has reported one-hour documentaries for the network, including Best Buy, The Big Box Fights Back, and Supermarkets, Inc., Inside the $500 Billion Money Machine, which I found to be a very interesting segment that he did. Tyler is also the host of CNBC's series How I Made My Millions. Before joining CNBC in 1997, Tyler spent 15 years as a writer and senior editor for Money Magazine. Tyler served as the money editor for ABC's Good Morning America from 1991 to 1997. He has also won an Emmy Award for a report in 1987 for the great stock market crash that aired on New York's WCBS-TV. He's a native of Arlington, Virginia. He graduated with distinction from the University of Virginia. And interestingly enough, Tyler's wife, Joanne, is a producer for the Today Show on NBC. Joining us from the greater New York area. Hi, Tyler. How are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Thank you so much for all the wisdom that you've given us over the years on television. And I just want to start with your top-of-mind thoughts. As a veteran business news reporter, how do you characterize this current period in our economy? Has the recession lasted longer than it needed to?
Well, that's a good question. I think this recession lasted longer than, we're out of the recession and have been, for some time now, really for almost three years. But this was a different recession because this was not simply a classic business cycle recession. This was a financially induced recession. This was a credit recession, which is different from the standard run-of-the-mill recessions where companies build too much and then demand falls off and factories cut back. This was really a crisis in the financial sector. And those kinds of recessions don't happen all that often. In fact, we probably hadn't had one since the 30s in this country. Those kinds of recessions take longer to pull out of and to heal from. And remember, this recession also was led by a massive crash, and that's the only way you can put it, in most parts of the country, in housing and the housing economy. And that makes it very different than the last big recession this country went through, which was the double dip of 80 and then 81 too.
I remember both of those recessions, and I also remember the stock market crash of 1987 where the market fell 25% in one day. My guest is Tyler Matheson. So, Tyler, you say that it was housing-induced, this particular crash. So that leads to a bigger question in the role of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in all of that. The United States, as far as I know, is the only country in the world that really subsidizes people owning their own homes by giving us a tax credit, a break on our federal income taxes for the interest that we pay on our mortgages. So the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are the backstops for that. What role did those two quasi-government agencies have in helping or exacerbating this last recession?
Well, as I said a moment ago, this was really a credit for a financially induced recession. And one of the major contributors to that, or two of them, were Fannie and Freddie, which were part of sort of financing the great credit boom of the 90s and the 2000s. And it was fundamentally federal policy to allow as many people as possible to afford homes. And the result was, through various policies, the people who bought homes really couldn't afford them, really couldn't carry them. And lenders, knowing that they were selling Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac mortgages, that they weren't going to hold. Countrywide wasn't going to hold those notes. Wachovia wasn't going to hold those notes. They were going to sell them. They were going to be bundled as mortgage security through Fannie Mae and then sold into the secondary market. So I think that those two enterprises had a lot to do with it, to do with extending more credit that needed than the system could bear, frankly. And then, of course, the bank, which saw all of those loans they made as assets initially and income streams, they were complicit in it too. And I actually agree with you 100%. It's not going to make a lot of people happy. But I think that the next time we revise and review, as I believe we must, the tax code in this country, we have to start by looking at some of the sacred cow deductions and incentives that are put in the tax code that not just benefit big businesses like oil companies and so forth, but benefit big businesses like the real estate industry. And, oh, by the way, individual consumers like you and me who benefit from the subsidy, and that's what it is, of having our mortgage interest tax deductible in almost all cases.
Hear, hear.
They have no mortgage interest write-off in Great Britain. They have no mortgage interest write-off, I don't believe, in Canada. And both of those countries have homeownership rates roughly the same as what we have.
I couldn't agree more. My guest is Tyler Matheson, CNBC's Power Lunch co-anchor. Tyler, the biggest freeway in Southern California, the 101, runs right through the middle of Ventura County. We've got to pause for traffic. When we come back, I'm going to ask you what it's going to take to accelerate this economy. But first, traffic.
Good afternoon. It's 3:30. Rich Galano in the KVTA News Center. Let's take a look now at the KVTA Traffic Center. In Oxnard, northbound Victoria still closed between Doris and Gonzales because of a fatal crash that occurred there. Southbound Victoria is down to one lane in that area while they complete their accident investigation into that fatal crash. Northbound 101 north of Victoria Avenue in Ventura, there is an unspecified traffic hazard. And there was a motorcycle crash, minor injuries on the eastbound 126 east of Wells Road in the center divider. And the westbound 101 east of Lindero Canyon Road in Agora, there was a report of a traffic collision a bit earlier at that location. Republican presidential candidates campaign in the South ahead of Tuesday's primaries in Mississippi and Alabama. ABC's Aaron Katursky is in Birmingham, where he tells us how one candidate is challenging the campaign math right now.
Saying he connects very well with voters, Rick Santorum rejects Mitt Romney's argument the GOP nomination is locked up.
It's going to be very difficult for anyone to get to the number of delegates.
Santorum is counting on a prolonged primary season and a split electorate at the GOP convention this summer. He wants conservatives to unite behind him and Newt Gingrich to drop out. But Gingrich fights on.
Mitt Romney can't beat Obama.
Released this web video attacking Romney, who campaigns here with comedian Jeff Foxworthy. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Birmingham, Alabama.
California Controller John Chung said today that the state will be able to meet its obligations through the rest of this fiscal year. Still, he says revenues last month came in $146 million below projections, although he blames the shortfall primarily on a large increase in early tax refunds going out. Chung says that even though California's revenues are continuing to fall below projections that were contained in the governor's budget, the cash conservation measures imposed last month will ensure the state will be able to pay its bills for the remainder of the fiscal year. California is still facing the combined budget deficits this year and last of almost $22 billion. Chung says that's being covered by internal and external borrowing. From the KVTA business desk, Wall Street today, the Dow was up 38, but the NASDAQ was down 5, the S&P 500 up a fraction. Let's take a look at the KVTA Weather Center. And weather looking pretty good. Some late night and morning low clouds and fog will be with us, and partly cloudy skies during the afternoon tomorrow. Overnight lows the 40s, highs tomorrow in the 50s and 60s, and we can expect some rain Friday night through Sunday. Rich Galano, News Talk 1520, KVTA.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show here on News Talk 1520 KVTA. My very special guest in this segment is Tyler Matheson. He is the co-anchor of CNBC's Power Lunch. And Tyler, before we went away to news and traffic, we were talking about the state of the economy, and I left you hanging with a question that I want you to answer in this segment. What is it going to take to accelerate the recovery in our economy?
I think there's two things that we need to think about. And the first thing is the short-term acceleration of the economy, and that, I think, is going to move along relatively slowly. I don't think that there is a lot more in terms of any fiscal stimulus that either state or the federal government are going to be able to do because of the nature of our fiscal status right now and the political status in this country. And that may not be a bad thing, by the way, because you see what too much spending can do to economies around the world. And I don't think there's going to be much, if any, more monetary stimulus coming out of the Federal Reserve, because I don't think there's the political interest there, and I think the Federal Reserve feels, again, maybe rightly, that they've done basically all that they can do. Now, if the economy were to show signs of going into another recession, which I and most people don't think is going to happen, then I think the Federal Reserve would step in with aggressive monetary easing of some sort, of a quantitative easing type QE3 or whatever. But I don't think that's in the book.
I think
I think what we need to understand is that the American economy, which is now still the dominant economy in the world, but not an unrivaled economy, and its dominance is not unrivaled, we are in a period of global transition. And we haven't dealt with it all that well. Industries have gone offshore. We design things, but we don't make things. Some manufacturing has come back in this country. I spent Friday with a plastics company in outside of Philadelphia that actually makes toys in America. Most toys are made in Asia, specifically China. This company, Kinect, makes all their toys just outside of Philadelphia. Why? Because they can do it cheaper there than they can overseas because of automation and the use of computers that has made their whole manufacturing process so unlabor intensive that they can do it more efficiently here. The flip side of that, however, is that it's unlabor intensive, meaning there aren't a lot of jobs attached to it. So we're going through a long-term transition in this country. I think what we have to do to get the economy going again over the long term is to become highly competitive again. In many places, in many ways, we are. But in terms of education, we're not. We do not graduate enough engineers, people in mathematics, people in the sciences. We're not equipping our kids with 21st century skills. That's number one. Number two, I think we can't afford to fail to invest in fundamental infrastructure. And I don't just mean roads and bridges. I mean in the infrastructure of the Internet, and I mean in the infrastructure of developing industries. This country, when it really got rolling after the post-war and in the 1950s, it did so in part because of massive investment, or part of it from the public, much of it from the public, in infrastructure, and we can't afford to do that. And the third thing I think we have to do is develop a competitive tax code, which we do, and regulatory environment, which we do not have today.
My guest is Tyler Matheson. He is the co-anchor of CNBC's Power Lunch. He's joining us from New York. So, Tyler, you've had really some very enviable assignments while you've been at CNBC. Among them, you've hosted two shows, High Net Worth and How I Made My Millions. And these shows kind of really give us an insight into what really successful business people do. What have you found be most exciting about covering the stories of these highly successful people?
You know, it's interesting. The two shows sort of sound alike, but really they couldn't be more different. High Net Worth was a program we did from basically 2005 to 2008 that celebrated high-end consumption, wealth building, people who had fancy cars and great lifestyle and lived very well. How I Made My Millions, on the other hand, is, to me, a much more interesting program because what it talks about, celebrates, and explores every week are fundamentally ordinary people who have taken sometimes very prosaic ideas and turned them into multi-million-dollar businesses. Some of them are family businesses. Some of them are sole proprietorships. Some are businesses that they ultimately sold out to larger companies. But if there is a thread there, in those people, and for example, let me tell you a story of this woman whose name is going to elude me, and and whose name of the product is going to elude me, but you know the product. She was a woman who was a stay-at-home mom, and she was out with a bunch of her girlfriends one night at a bar, and they were having martinis. And she thought, these martini glasses are so boring. They're just plain stemware. What if I painted designs on those glasses and painted the recipe for the drink, whether it was a Cosmopolitan or an Appletini or a Caipirinha or whatever, on the glassware? And so she started doing this at home. And little by little, the thing took off. And in the most recent year, she did $65 million
wow.
in these little glasses.
That is amazing.
You probably heard about the woman who came up with Spanx.
Yes.
Shapewear for women and now increasingly for men. She had a simple idea. She wanted something that wasn't a girdle, but put everything where it belonged. Well, she just made the four billionaires. And if there's a common thread between these people, it's that they believe in their dream, they don't take no for an answer, they don't give up, and they are willing to risk everything. Time, money, family money in pursuit of their dreams.
That is great. My guest has been Tyler Matheson, co-anchor of CNBC's Power Lunch. Tyler, if people are intrigued by what you have to say and they certainly want to learn more about you and some of your shows, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
We can go on the Internet to CNBC.com, where we have pages for How I Made My Millions, and every now and then I tweet on Twitter at Tyler Matheson.
That is great. Tyler, thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Great to be with you, Bill. Bye-bye.
Take care now.